Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sriyuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagada Raghunathan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ivacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I have been asked by the management of this temple to give a lecture on the 17th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and in preparing for this class I found some very nice quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam which should assist us in putting our hearts and minds in the proper mentality so that we can nicely receive this oral message of Bhagavad Gita. We begin with chanting the 12 syllable mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prahlad Maharaj says in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he's addressing his classmates. Prahlad is in the school, 5-year-old boy, and at lunch time, he preaches to his classmates. My dear friends, if you can place your faith in my words, simply by that faith, you can also understand transcendental knowledge just like me, although you are small children. Similarly, a woman can also understand transcendental knowledge and know what is spirit and what is matter. Then another important statement was made by the assistants and servants of Kamsa on the Janmashtami night when Krishna was switched at birth and Vasudev took the girl that was born of Yashoda. Kamsa, believing the prophecy of the 8th child of Devaki, but he was surprised that the 8th child was a girl, and he tried to kill her. But the girl flew up in the sky and appeared as Durga Devi and chastised Kamsa, telling him that the child he was looking for was born elsewhere. At that time, Kamsa begged forgiveness from Vasudeva and Devaki for having killed their 6 sons one after another. And Vasudeva and Devaki, being sincere, pure devotees, pardoned Kamsa for the killing of their six children. And when Kamsa returned to his ministers did not like the fact that Kamsa had a change of heart. So the ministers told Kamsa the following: the Brahmins, the cows, Vedic knowledge, austerity, truthfulness, control of the mind and senses, faith, mercy, tolerance, and sacrifice are the different parts of the body of Lord Vishnu, and they are the paraphernalia for a godly civilization. And what Kamsa's ministers suggested to Kamsa is that all these things they should kill. They made a plan to kill the Brahmins, the cows, destroy Vedic knowledge, do away with austerity, all of these things. And specifically, they wanted to kill all the newborn children, because Durga Devi had said that this child was born elsewhere. But it is significant that the demons knew that these things are the paraphernalia for a godly civilization. So we should understand, these are the components of a godly civilization: Brahmins, cows, Vedic knowledge, austerity, truthfulness, control of the mind and senses, faith, mercy, tolerance, and sacrifice. These are the components of a godly civilization. Now, the next quote is from the Uddhava Gita, where Krishna instructs his devotee Uddhava. And this is a very nice statement by Krishna to Uddhava: faith directed towards spiritual life is in the mode of goodness. Because tonight's chapter of Bhagavad Gita is divisions of faith. So here Krishna is pointing out, faith directed towards spiritual life is in the mode of goodness. Faith rooted in fruitive work is in the mode of passion. And faith residing in irreligious activities is in the mode of ignorance. So everybody has a kind of faith. This is explained by Krishna in chapter 17. But the question is, where does someone place their faith? And in the 17th chapter, Krishna says that faith depends on how one is attracted to the modes of nature. So your faith can be in ignorance, can be in passion, or in goodness. But listen to what Krishna says. He said that faith directed towards spiritual life is in the mode of goodness. But then he says, but faith in my devotional service is purely transcendental. So that is great news for devotees. Devotees who are in bhakti marg. I'll repeat this sentence by Krishna to Uddhava: faith in my devotional service is purely transcendental. So one of the jobs of someone like myself, a preacher, is to instill this in those who are hearing him. Faith in Krishna's devotional service is purely transcendental. The next quote is from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who gives a very nice definition of this word faith, shraddha. The same word, Sanskrit and Bengali, shraddha. The exact quote by Lord Chaitanya: shraddha shabde vishvasa kahe sudrida nishchoy, krishne bhakti kaile sarva karma krita hoy. Shraddha is confident, firm faith that by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. Such faith is favorable to the discharge of devotional service. On the basis of this statement by Lord Chaitanya, I decided to give up my materialistic endeavors at the age of 23 and decided to become a full-time devotee, a full-time practitioner of bhakti yoga by joining ISKCON. It was on the basis of this philosophy. I'll repeat it. It is the confident, firm faith that by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, that means bhakti yoga, one performs all subsidiary activities. The same thing is mentioned by Narada Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Same thing. That in human form of life, we have so many responsibilities and duties. But if someone fully surrenders to the service of the Lord, all those duties and responsibilities are covered. That is the implication of this verse. My spiritual master has given a nice explanation. Please hear if you can. Firm faith and confidence are called Shraddha. When one engages in the Lord's devotional service, that's bhakti yoga, he or she is to be understood to have performed all responsibilities in the material world. He or she has satisfied one's forefathers, ordinary living entities, and demigods, and is free from all responsibility. Same thing Krishna says at the end of Bhagavad Gita. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja ahang dvang sarvapapebhyo mokshayishyami masuchaha. When Krishna says in that verse, I deliver you from all sinful reactions. Sinful reactions occur when we don't do our duties. But Krishna says, if you surrender fully to me, I will take care of that account. That's why I say this verse of Bhagavad Gita, this is the real bailout program. Full bailout is here by Krishna. You simply surrender fully to Krishna, everything is taken care of. Such a person does not need to meet his or her responsibilities separately. It is automatically done. Fruitive activity or karma is meant to satisfy the senses of the conditioned soul. But when one awakens to Krishna consciousness, he or she does not have to work separately for pious activity. Why? Because bhakti itself is the topmost pious activity. People want to perform pious activities. That's good. But what people generally don't know, what is the topmost pious activity? That is bhakti. The application of devotional service is the highest pious activity, and that's why even, and it's mentioned in Bhagavatam, even someone slips, even someone falls down, there is no need for prayaschitta. It's not necessary. A person who understands that bhakti yoga is the topmost pious activity, he or she falls down, that's all right. Pick yourself up, become again engaged, because there's nothing better. That's the idea here. There is nothing higher or more pious than bhakti yoga. That is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam and of Bhagavad Gita. Let us continue. The best achievement of all fruitive activity is detachment from material life. And this detachment is spontaneously enjoyed by a devotee firmly engaged in the Lord's service. I have given the example on many occasions because we hear in the Vedas about this word, and it's mentioned by Krishna in the 18th chapter, sannyas, tyag, vairagya. It's two sides of a coin. In a coin, you don't want a one-sided coin. Then you know it's counterfeit. The coin or rupee has two sides, yes? In India, the rupee. Two different sides, right? So, one side is indifference to material sense gratification. That's what Prabhupada was just saying here. Detachment from material life. So, real detachment, tyag, sannyas, vairagya, means I am no longer interested in enjoying this material world. But that's only one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is attachment to Krishna and His service. And of the two sides of the coin, that side is more important. Why? Because if you are attached to serving Krishna automatically, you will be detached from material life automatically. I've also, you, those of you who know me, I've given the example of a scale. If one side goes down, the other side has to go up. So similarly, if you continually try to increase your service to Krishna, automatically your attachment to this material world goes down. Now some people think, no, I want both. I want spiritual life and I want full material. That doesn't work that way. Sorry. Now that does not mean that you have to be a poor beggar. That's not what I'm saying. Because we have many examples of very wealthy devotees. But even though they had great opulence at their command, they did not become degraded and they were not interested in enjoying their senses sinfully. Who are the examples? Swayambhuva Manu. Who else? Janak Maharaj, yes. Dasarath, Parikshit, Yudhishthir, Ranti Dev. So many one of the best examples, Ambarish, that you may be in a very opulent position. Or another one, Sudama. Sudama was the same when he was poor and when he was fabulously wealthy. It's mentioned in Bhagavatam by Shukadeva. He did not change his devotion. He did not become degraded when Krishna blessed him with unlimited opulence. That's the key. But what is important is my inclination to want to enjoy this material world, to be the enjoyer. But the examples that we gave, Parikshit, Yudhishthir, Janak, any example of a great Mahajan, their interest did not lie in trying to enjoy their senses. Their interest lied in serving Krishna. And there are many examples also of devotees that Krishna may take away everything. Bali. Krishna, Vamana Dev took everything away from Bali. Bali did not change. Just imagine. Actually, the Bhagavatam says that Vamana Dev Chalayasi cheated Bali. There was no other way for the Lord to do it. He had to cheat him. That word is used by Jayadeva Goswami. Chalayasi Vikramane Balim Madhbhuta Vamana. The Lord tricked him, cheated him. Right? And when Vamana Dev took everything away, Vamana Dev said, hey buddy, you owe me my third step. You promised me three steps. With two, I have taken everything. You can't keep your promise. Bali said, no. I have my head. Put your third foot on my head. And even though Bali was sent, because Bali had conquered heaven, he was sitting in Indra's throne. All Indra and all the devatas were hiding, invisible. Bali was sitting on the throne of Indra. Bali was Daityaraj. So, when Bali was now, because of Vamanadeva, pushed down to the low planets, Sutala, that's just above Patala, very low, Bali Maharaj did not change his attitude. And because he did not change his attitude, and because Vamanadeva agreed to place his third step on his head, Vamanadeva became his chokidar. He became his doorkeeper. Can anybody of you say that? Yes, the Lord is my... And what happened? Later, Ravan came. The same Ravan in Ramayan. Ravan came to attack Bali. But he was greeted by Vamana, the original soccer player, and kicked him. Get out of here. Kicked him back to where he came from. Why? Because Bali Maharaj agreed to let the Lord cheat him. He didn't protest and offered his head. There you go, Sarvadharman. Everything was taken from him. It was shown that he was tied up by the ropes of Varuna. And even his wife came and chastised him. And that's nothing more worse. Your wife comes and chastises you in front of everybody. Said, yes, he's a rascal. Good. But Bali Maharaj did not change. And therefore the Lord agreed to be his doorkeeper. And what happens? The current Indra, his term is up at some point. Just like Obama, his term will be up either this year or in 4 more years. Anyway, at some point his term is up. So there'll be another fool called President of the United States. So Indra is the same way. It's a post. You can only be Indra for so long. It's not permanent. Bali becomes the next Indra. Very nice. So are you ready to hear about the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Say Hari Bol. All right, let's go. So that was the preamble to the constitution. I wanted to set things up. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra. So Kakaniji, you are a student of Bhagavad Gita. When I drink water, what should I think? Krishna, why? Taste of water. Yes, it's not arrowhead. It should say Godhead. This water is coming from Krishna. They're very proud. We are arrowhead. No, someone should make a bottle called Godhead. Make it pure Ganga Jal or Yamuna. All right. So I've selected the most important verses from this chapter. And I'm pleased to announce my online secretary informs me we have 21 devotees hearing and watching this class on the internet at this time. So let's all say Hari Bol to the 21 devotees. Yes, put it there. You'll get a nice recording. So here's, to me, the most important verses in this 17th chapter. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bolo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tad Buddhayas Tad Atmanas Tan Nishtas Tat Parayana gachyapuna avritin gyana nirdhuta kalmasha. When one's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of all misgivings through complete knowledge, and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. So the Supreme, if you are a Vedantist, to you the Supreme is Brahman. If you are a yogi, the Supreme is Paramatma. But if you are a bhakta, the Supreme is right there on the altar, Sri Krishna Bhagavan. So it depends for who you are, what is, oh. And for a demon, what is the Supreme? Wine, women, Las Vegas, etc. Money, that's their Supreme. For a hog, I can't say what Supreme is for a hog. I'm in a temple. Everybody, depending on who they are, the Supreme is something different. But for the transcendentalists, it's either Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Sanishchayena yoktavyo yoga nirvena chetasa sankalpa bhavavang kamangs chaktva sarvana shastata manasaivendriya gramang viniyamya samantata. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith, and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon, without exception, all material desires born of mental speculation, and thus control all the senses on all the sides by the mind. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Tri vidha bhavati shraddha, dehinang sa swabhavacha, satvaki rajasi chaiva, tamasi cheti, tang shrinu. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, said, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds, goodness, passion, or ignorance. Now hear about this. So we mentioned that at the very beginning. Depending on how you are situated in the modes of nature, your faith is different. Sattvanu rupa sarvasya, shraddha bhavati bharata, shraddha mayo yang purusho, yo yat shraddha sa evasa. O son of Bharat, according to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. So your faith can change. If something evolves, then your faith may not necessarily stay the same. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he or she has acquired. Yajante Shatvika Devan Yaksha Rasangsi Rajasa Pretan Bhuta Ganangs Chanye Yajante Tamasa Jana. Men in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. Those in the mode of passion worship the demons. And those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. And we heard from Krishna in the Uddhava Gita, we heard that one who has faith in devotional service, such a person has transcendental faith. So we should first of all consider and ask ourselves, where is my faith? What modes of nature am I attracted to? There are three types of faith. In the conditioned state, people are attracted to worshiping demigods, ghosts, or yakshas like Kuvera. The mode of goodness is better than the modes of passion and ignorance. But one who takes directly to Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all the three modes of material nature. That was explained by Krishna in chapter 14. At the very end of chapter 14, Arjuna asks Krishna, how can I transcend the modes of nature? Because earlier Krishna had said, even you're in the mode of goodness, you're still conditioned. So someone like Arjuna does not want to be conditioned. And it was a very similar question that he asked in chapter 2. What is the symptoms of a transcendental person? So here in chapter 14, Krishna said, oh, how do you transcend the modes of nature? Very easy. He gave Mangchayo Vyabhicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate. So, Krishna is saying, you, Bhakti Yogina, that is the instrumental case. By, the instrumental case means by or with. So, by devotional Bhakti Yoga, the linking process of Bhakti, but the word Avyabhichara, no interruption, like my name, my spiritual master gave me, Nirantara. No interruption, no cessation. So that's the key. Some people in all religions, they'll go to temple, church, or mosque one day a week. The rest of the week, I do what I want. And for 1 hour, for 1 hour on a particular day, I'll go to temple, church, and mosque. That's not Avyabhicharena. Avyabhicharena means 24/7, 365, 100, or if you live longer. That is the inference here. That one engages in this bhakti yoga, linking with the Supreme, bhai bhakti, non-stop. Non-stop. Sagunan samatit yaitan. That's when you transcend the modes of nature, Krishna tells Arjuna. Same thing, what did Krishna say in chapter 7? Daivihi yesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. In that verse, Krishna said, this material energy, insurmountable. It's all powerful. It's insurmountable. You want to cross over? Surrender. He doesn't give another option. Krishna's definition in chapter 7, this material energy is insurmountable. Duratyaya. You want to cross over it? Surrender to Krishna. That's why at the end he says, all right, just surrender. I will deliver you. Now, when you transcend the modes of nature, when you conquer over the influence of the material nature, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, you regain your original pure spiritual status. That original pure spiritual status is the same as Krishna. You get equal status with Krishna. Not that you become Krishna. Not that you become equal to him in all respects, but equal status. What is that equal status? Sat, Chit, Anand. Right now, we're not Sat. I look in the mirror every day. I don't see Sat. I see another wrinkle, another gray hair, another ache, another pain. This body is not Sat. It was said that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna was 125 years old. He had only 16,108 wives. With each wife, he had 10 sons. Each of those sons had 10 sons. He had a daughter by each of those wives. So he had a big family. On the battlefield of Kudaksetra, he was grandpa. How many people here are grandpa? Grandma. So Krishna also. But on the battlefield, how did Krishna look? 16, maybe 16, 20, 25 years old. That's not going to... I'm 61. I don't look like I did when I was 16. But Krishna, because his body is Sachit Ananda, he looked like a, as it said, blooming youth. So, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate means you regain your original spiritual status and you also become ever youthful. In the spiritual world, you don't grow old. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. This is necessary if you want to relate to Krishna on a personal level. Krishna is not going to relate to you on the material level. You actually want to relate to Krishna, you have to be on his liberated platform. So this verse, Sagunanta Matit Yaitan, is very, very important. That if I want to regain my original spiritual status, he's giving me the clue. Just engage in the 9 kinds of bhakti nonstop. Here, you're doing the first one right now, hearing, shravanam. That's why we have these programs. These programs are for the benefit of those who want to advance spiritually. That's why we have these programs. Because there has to be this process of hearing. By hearing, then there is some impetus to want to improve. People are listening to the radio or television, and they're trying to learn something, depending on the show. They're trying to get something to improve their lives. That's what the pravachan is. Something, hopefully you pick up at least one thing that you can take to improve and better and advance to the next stage. Then, if one has heard nicely, then the next step, one repeats the message. Shravanam, kirtanam. Either by chanting or speaking. And if this two, because these are the two most. Shravanam, kirtanam. These are the two most important items of the 9. You cannot go to the other 7 unless these two are done perfectly, sufficiently. Therefore, whenever you decide, I want to get to the next level, I've just told you the secret. Engage in hearing and chanting this Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Just absorb yourself in hearing and chanting. I practice what I preach. Every day, I'm chanting. I am reading Bhagavad Gita. I have to do that. If I want to do this seva, I also must do. So this hearing and chanting should go on as much as possible. Then one gets to the stage of smaranam, remembering. People sometimes marvel. I'm not just tooting my horn. But over the years, people have said to me, how do you remember all this stuff? I said, it's simple. You put hours into hearing and chanting, something is going to stick. It's very simple. If you consistently engage in hearing and chanting, you'll see. And Krishna will give you opportunity. Go ahead. You want to say something about me? Go ahead. And we learn from the Bhagavatam that when you act as Krishna's PR person, Krishna becomes very pleased. Shrinvatan Sukhata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Hridyantak Stohi Abhadrani Vidhu Noti Suritsatam. If you at any moment tell someone something about Krishna, Krishna becomes very pleased with you. Every time I preach, people inevitably come up, Prabhuji, blessings please, Prabhu. But you can get your own blessings. Tell someone something about Krishna, you'll get blessings directly from Krishna. He's in your heart. He becomes very pleased. Ooh. Manohar is saying something about me? Oh, then I must do something nice for Manohar. Yes. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam. Pada Sevanam means how many do some kind of service here in the temple? Nobody raises it. Come on. How many? Any little service you do in this temple, Pada Sevanam. Any little, what did Prabhupada say? How many of you come and ring the bell when you come in? Huh, you've done. Your service has begun. Prabhupada once said, even the children, if they clap in the kirtan, oh, it's written down in their book. Everybody has a bhakti book. Oh, that child clapped in the kirtan? Okay. Nobody can touch that account. Permanent account. So Pada Sevanam, doing some activity, service. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam. We're going to have arti, yes? So every time you come for the arti, that's being noted. Oh, they came to arti today. Very good. Vandanam. Vandanam means to offer prayer. And you want some nice prayers? 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna twice. You want better prayers? Bhagavatam. Section after section after section. Prayers. Prayer, I did a whole thing. I took all the prayer sections out of the Bhagavatam. I don't have it on my computer right now. But there's several dozen prayer sections in the Bhagavatam. Just even in 10th canto. Let's see, in 10th canto. Beginning the prayers of the demigods for Krishna in the womb of Devaki. Very nice. Then when Krishna is born, Vasudeva offers prayers. Devaki offers prayers. So even this, just in the 10th canto, Akrura, three times Akrura is mentioned. Prayers by, on the way to Vrindavan, he's offering prayers. When he's taking Krishna and Balaram out of Vrindavan, he's offering prayers. When Krishna finally comes to Akrura's house, right? Akrura, I was reading this earlier this week. When Krishna came to Akrura's house, Akrura was massaging the feet of Krishna. Would you like to do that someday? Massage Krishna's feet? You have to want to. Massaging, and while he's massaging Krishna's feet, he's offering beautiful prayers. There's the prayers of Muchukunda. Muchukunda was saved by Krishna. How was he saved? Because Krishna led Kalayavana into the cave. Then he disturbed Muchukunda. Kalyavana, when he saw, Kalyavana at first thought, is this my Lord and Master, Lord Ramachandra? Then he realized, Muchukunda introduced himself, and Krishna said, yes, my name is Krishna. I am the Supreme Personality. There was an introduction. Rukmini's prayers, when she wrote the letter to Krishna, the Gopi Geet, the highest description of prayers in the Bhagavatam, Gopi Gita. I think it's 19 verses. The quintessence of Srimad Bhagavatam is there in that chapter. Prayers by the gopis. Then there's another prayers of the gopis describing the effects of Krishna's flute. What happens when Krishna blows his flute? There's a whole chapter. And they're glorifying. When Krishna plays his flute, the river flows backward. When Krishna plays his flute, if the calves are drinking the milk from the mother, they can't go any further. They get stuck. They become stunned. The animals pick up immediately. Everyone and everything is attracted by Krishna's flute. So powerful. Lord Brahma heard the sound of Krishna's flute in his ear. Out came Gayatri from his mouth. Just by hearing the sound of Krishna's flute. And what did Prabhupada teach us? You want to hear the sound of Krishna's flute? It is there in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When you chant it perfectly without offense, you will hear that flute of Krishna because it's there. Therefore, I should be very eager to chant this Maha Mantra. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam. We have here in this temple the great Bhaktaraj, Hanuman. Hanuman teaches us by his personal example how to be Das. Because he was offered by Lord Ram. Lord Ram said, you fought for me. Who was it that discovered Sita in the Ashok Grove? Hanuman. Who single-handedly burnt down Lanka? Right? They put fire on his tail. Hanuman said, no problem. And he jumped. Burnt the whole city of gold down. So he did lots and lots and lots of service. He was there on the battlefield. He and his army of monkeys. It's so wonderful, huh? Ravana is defeated by an army of monkeys. And after it was all over, Ram said to Hanuman, you have done so much for me, I want to give you benediction. Hanuman could have asked for anything, could he not? What did he say? No, my Lord. Just want to be your das. Just want to be your servant. Same thing. Prahlad says the same thing. When Prahlad, his father was killed by Lord Nrisimha. So after Prahlad offered his prayers, Lord Nrisimha wanted to give Prahlad a benediction. Prahlad said, my Lord, am I a merchant? Vanik? Am I a merchant? No, I'm not a merchant. I serve you because you are my master. I'm your servant. There's no need for anything else. But Lord Nrisimha insisted, no, you must take a benediction. Prahlad said, fine. What benediction do I want? In my heart, no more material desires. He is also great bhakta. So we have two examples of great das, servants of the Lord. They want nothing. Why they want nothing? Because to serve the Lord is itself the highest position. There is a very interesting chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I love this. Every year I have to read this chapter. Coming up at the end of this month, the last Sunday of this month, is the appearance day of Advaita Acharya. So in that chapter, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Advaita Acharya explains that all of Krishna's expansions, Balaram, Vishnu, Narayana, all the Vishnu expansions, they're God. All of Krishna's expansions, they're God. Like, say, Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna, they're all Vishnu Tattva, they're all God. But Advaita Acharya says, even though all of us are on the same, we are God, we derive more pleasure from serving God. It blows your mind. Here in the material world, what's everybody trying to be? God. Everybody's trying to be the enjoyer, right? Right now you're having the Republican debates, right? What do they want to be? President. The boss. Right? Vote for me. I am the bigger mood. I mean, vote for me. Thinking, now I will become famous. Everyone will chant my name. President Mudha. Jai. I'll get to ride in Air Force One. And then after, I can make millions, like, what is that guy, Clinton now? He makes so much money. Make more money after being president. So everybody in the material world is trying to be the enjoyer, trying to be God. But God is saying, no, you fools, you'll derive more pleasure by being my devotee. This is something, if you can grasp this one, you got it. Being the servant, someday you might meet Hanuman. You ask Hanuman, and Hanuman will say, nothing better than serving my Lord Ram. I've given the example many times. Radharani. Radharani has only one objective in life. What's that? Please Krishna. Whatever Krishna wants, she wants. If you were to go to Radharani, Radharani, look, I'll give you $1 trillion. I'll give you this, I'll give you this. We just want you to give up Krishna. Radharani will throw a thunderbolt on your head. Get out of here. Nothing. You cannot, there's nothing. Radharani already has the highest thing you could possibly have. She has Krishna wrapped around her finger. Why? Her love and devotion is too much. The night of the rasa dance. Very, very interesting. This is in Srimad Bhagavatam. The night of the rasa dance, Krishna showed that there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that's not true. What did I just say? Yes. The gopis proved that Bhagavad Gita 4.11 doesn't apply to them. Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Krishna says, Yeyata mang prapajante tang sataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, it's very clear, as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. I'm sure most of you know that famous verse. But at the night of the rasa dance, what did Krishna himself say to the gopis? I can't repay you. Krishna said to the gopis, I can't repay you. So for the gopis, Bhagavad Gita 4.11, it's not in their Gita. Because Krishna himself said, I can't repay you. In fact, Krishna said, even within a lifetime of Brahma, I can't repay you. A lifetime of Brahma, a couple of trillion years. But do the gopis care? Gopis don't care because they've got the highest thing. The highest thing that Lord Chaitanya came to distribute. It's called love of God. Nothing higher. So this is the ecstasy of a devotee. Seeing oneself as the eternal servant of God, that in itself is the highest ecstasy. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archana Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Arjun. Krishna and Arjun. Arjun is so much friend of Krishna, Krishna became his chauffeur. Partha Sarati. Is Krishna driving you to work tomorrow morning? No. But Arjuna, the day he had to go to on the job, Krishna was driving the chariot. And we see in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna orders Krishna, take my chariot, right? Say you have a driver. In India, sometimes you do that, right? You get a driver, right? You tell the driver, we want to go here. And then if the driver is not driving, hey, drive properly here, right? Because you're paying him. Right? So Arjuna, same way, is telling Krishna, take my chariot in the midst of both the armies. I want to see who has come. And Krishna is so cool. I love Krishna. He's the coolest. Krishna says, okay, behold. And then Arjuna sees who he has to fight. And then those of you who know, Arjuna becomes impotent. He doesn't want to fight. He gets choked up. He says, my skin is burning. My bow is slipping from my hands. He's losing. He says, my mind is reeling. So Krishna then begins, because Arjuna surrendered. Shishyasteham shadimang dwang prapanam. Arjuna surrenders. Key. That's the key. The key is to surrender. And actually, you're going to surrender either way. You're either going to surrender to Krishna, or you're going to surrender to illusion. Take your pick. There's no in between. Either you're going to surrender to Krishna, or the insurmountable material energy. You only get two options. Right? That's it. There's no other option. Either surrender to Krishna or surrender to the material energy. The whole point of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is trying to convince us for... That's another idea here. When Krishna says, surrender to me, it's not that Krishna's getting anything out of it. He's already got Radharani. Anything Krishna wants... She's got it. And besides, even without Radharani, anything Krishna wants, he just has to think it. Boom! It happens. We'd love to have that facility, right? I want $1,000. Oh, there it is. It doesn't happen that way. But for Krishna, it can. So, when Krishna says surrender, it's for our benefit. You tell your children, go to school, right? Is that for your benefit? Why do you tell your children, go to school? For their benefit. Of course, the kids can't understand that. When you tell your children, don't do this, don't do this. Sometimes they go, why my parents are so mean? Won't let me have any fun. But the parent knows. It's, you don't understand. That's why I always preach to the children. Obey your parents. They're your best friend. You may not think so, but they're your best. Am I right, parents? Yes. That's why the people like me. Oh, Narantara, he preaches very good. He tells the right thing. So when Krishna says surrender to me, it's for our benefit. Krishna doesn't want to see us suffering. So that's why he says surrender to me, so that we will become happy, so that we will become once again united with him in his abode. All right, I went over time. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Let's end. Everyone raise your hand. I'd like to give you a New Year's blessing. Would you like a blessing? That's the benefit to coming to my class. You get a blessing. And it's free of charge. What do you think, huh? My dear Lord Krishna, please bless everybody. May they have the best year of their lives yet. And may they feel the presence of Krishna's lotus feet in their heart. Please repeat, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. I want you to have a very happy, holy, healthy, and prosperous new year. Hari Bol.